Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that's now been airing for 20 years here on WBT. It's been my pleasure trying to intersect faith and values with different issues in our culture locally and globally. It's always been a pleasure bringing the program to you. Thanks to my friends here at WBT for allowing me this privilege for almost 20 plus years now, and it has been a joy doing this show. Well, it's hard to believe December the 29th. We're just a few days away from the new year, 2020. And whenever we hear that kind of numbers, we always think of vision. And my hope is that we'll have a 2020 vision that will include how I end every program, and that's loving God and loving our neighbor as our two highest priorities in life. As I reflect upon this past year, we've had some extraordinary guests on. It's been such a blast, and I thank all the guests who came on. Again, I thank WBT for the privilege of this program, and I thank my producer, Ed Billick, who has been a friend, but also one who helps oversee this program, who has an open mic now. Ed, thank you for this past year and for 5 years of working together.
David, it's been a pleasure, David. And I tell you, it's been a great year, and I thank you, especially all of our guests. And one of the guests we've had on before has been with us, and of course, it's our good friend Jim Zocchi.
Hey, Jim, it's great to have you be a part of this show at its beginning. My guess is you have had quite a ride in 2020, especially the last 4 months, as you look at the Panthers and what has happened there. And how do you look at this season?
It's a lot like last year. You know, started out first half of the year 5-3. Last year was 6-2. Second half, falling apart. Of course, the difference this year is Coach Ron Rivera gets fired with a few weeks to go in the regular season. But unfortunately, two seasons in a row where they started out looking pretty good first half of the year, and then just the wheels have come off the past 2 years collectively.
And Jim, since this is a show of hope, I'm sure you have hope in the Panthers, as we all do, for the future.
Well, that's the thing you do, is this league is designed to bring everybody back together into the competitive, whether it's to getting a higher draft pick, you get a last-place schedule. You know, Panthers can make some moves to clear up salary cap space, and obviously it will be excited about, you know, whoever the next coach is, what they add to the front office, what's going to happen at quarterback. So even when it's down times, it's still fun to keep up with seeing what's going on and interesting to see, and you would hope they'd be able to bounce back next year, at least on a 2-3 year process of getting competitive once again.
Well, you know, one of my big deals is hope, and if you don't have hope, you just can't move forward in life. And isn't it interesting, after each season, as bad as this one's been, it doesn't take long, just a couple of weeks probably, when people start thinking, okay, we're going to get a high draft pick, new coach, we're going to find a new quarterback, maybe we'll find a Lamar Jackson in the draft, and people start having hope again.
You know, Christian McCaffrey made that comment in the locker room after the game on Sunday in Indianapolis. As bad as that game was, he said, you know, a really good team this year is San Francisco, the 49ers. He said, you know, the 49ers a couple years ago were a two-win team. He goes, now look at, they're one of the best teams. They might have the best record in the NFC with the number one seed. And he said, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, hanging in there. It takes 2-3 years of turning things around. So you got a lot of guys like him and others that are talented that'll be back, that'll battle. Then you add to that. And you're right. I think, you know, hope is the thing that keeps everyone looking forward to what's going to come next year and over the next couple of years.
Wow. Well, I hope you're positive. You seem to be. You seem to think that things might turn out well.
Well, it's just, you know, there's ups and downs in this league. You know, I've been doing it. Part of it is I've been doing it for 25 years. So I've seen 1-15, which was George Seifert's last year, turn into John Fox and Julius Peppers. I've seen 2-14 turn into Ron Rivera and Cam Newton. But that takes time to build out of that, and out of that kind of almost like burning it down to the ground with those kind of records. New coach, new quarterback, Julius Peppers, as I mentioned. You know, things can change. You know, it's just a matter of identifying and finding those right players.
Well, in 3 days, 2020. Can you believe that? I mean, it's been 20 years that I've been on air here, and you've been here
25, 26 years here at BT,
As you look into 2020, what is your hope for our city, our nation? What are you looking for?
You know, I think I'd like to see just people be more positive and uplifting of each other. help each other out. I feel like we've just, especially with social media, I'm talking about the world we live in as far as, you know, broadcasters and things like that. You know, someone's just bashing, attacking. You'll be watching a game in-game in the first quarter. People are just bashing the quarterback, bashing the coach or whatever. You know, why don't we all try to just say something positive and lift each other up instead of tearing each other down, since we're all kind of in this world together? And if you just do like a little bit together to help one another, how much you could put all together.
That's a Jim Zocchi moment of hope.
It really is, and it's terrific as well. It's like we opened the program with, if we could just focus 2020, have 2020 vision on a couple of things, I suggest just, hey, what about loving God and loving your neighbor? Yeah. Just do those two things.
There's so many charities and things people would need. If you could just kind of get out of your own whatever wallowing or whatever your depressions or whatever are, there's so many people in need, kids, teenagers, adults, elderly. There's a lot of folks you could help.
Well, would you hang on and do the next segment with me and talk about Abdul, your
sure.
friend, in just graduated from North Carolina State? It's one of the great stories that has happened in your and Sandra's
Be glad
lives,
to do that, yeah, absolutely.
And something that I have great admiration for you about. I'm David Chadwick. This is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Many thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and also Perry's Fine Jewelry for their sponsorship of the show. Without you, I could not do this, now again running 20 years. Ed Billick, my producer, has an open mic, as does my friend Jim Zocchi in studio with me, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. Jim, thanks for being with me. And I just thought, as we looked into 2020, and you teased it in the last segment, how if we could just go find somebody to go serve, somebody to care for, somebody in need, if all of the city would just find one person, can you think how this city would be different? You and Sandra, some years ago, found a young man who was in a desperate situation, and you decided to care for him, literally adopt him, and he has a remarkable end to his story. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Yeah, this was back about 10 years ago when our kids were at Audrey Kell High School, and there was a classmate that was taking a bus from a homeless shelter up on the north side of town down to Ballantyne to go to high school every day. One of the teachers alerted us to that. And we've got a blended family of five kids, so I guess we just look like the obvious people to talk to about, hey, there's
why not?
There's a kid situation. You guys have been through it all. What do you know? And so anyways, one of the teachers there alerted us to the fact that Abdul was that student. And
what's his background, by the way?
So he moved down here from the Bronx with his sister, who was married and had two kids. They moved into the Ballantyne area. They ended up losing their house financially. They moved into a family shelter, so the four of them were together. But because he was 18 and not the direct family, he had to go live in the men's shelter. So here's his 18-year-old with 40, 50, 60-year-olds living in this shelter up there because he had nowhere to live. Mm-hmm. And didn't really have the means or, honestly, the desire to go back to the situation he had left behind in the Bronx, which is why he moved down here in the first place. So Sandra and I knew that he worked at the Wendy's over in Stonecrest, went to meet him. He didn't know we were. We saw him at the end of his shift, happened to walk in, and just his shift was ending. And we said, you don't know us, but our kids go to Audrey Kell. We've heard you got some tough situations. Would you have a few minutes to chat? So we took him to lunch somewhere else, not Wendy's, and got to know him a little bit. Hung out with him for like maybe an hour and a half or so, and he was pretty quiet. I mean, we drop him off back at the men's shelter with the box of pizza, and we watch him Saturday afternoon walking back in there. And we said, I don't know what the answer is, but the solution is not that we drive away and that we just leave him there. So we had his cell phone number. We called him back, and it was like a half an hour later. He said, would you mind if we came back and got you and just brought you to our house, and we'll just discuss this some more, and we'll figure out a plan? Long story short, after talking with a couple different families and other people that thought they might be willing to or would be able to take him in, nobody else could. So we now realize it was us.
No, you were the
God ones. Had picked us to be the ones to bring him in. So long story short, we ended up keeping him in our home for about 3 years, fostering him, nothing official, but basically mentoring and fostering him, and became part of our family. We had another guy, Josh Meadows, who was a single guy who's now married, that also had an extra room, and God had put on his heart that to do something with that extra room in his house. And there were times where we would share the week, and he'd kind of go back and forth depending on what his work schedule and school schedule was. Graduates Audrey Kell. Took a year and a half. We thought he was a senior. Turned out he was a junior based on credits. Mm-hmm. Coming down from New York. It was a year and a half that he graduated from high school. Went to CPCC for a while. Dropped out of school for a while to work. Went to NC State. 10 years later, this past week, a week and a half ago, graduates from NC State University with a degree in microbiology.
Wow.
This is a kid who so easily could have not hopped on city buses to go to school every day. They could have just fallen through the cracks, fallen off the grid in society. But we saw that he wanted to make something more of himself. And all we did was give him some resources, opportunities. You know, he's had a person donate a car to him. You know, we got him going with a place to live. He's part of our family, always will be part of our family. We were, of course, up at that graduation a few weeks ago. And it's just an amazing story of just that one person. We had no connection to it. It wasn't like somebody in our world, anything in our radar. Just one teacher saying one thing to us like, hey, have you heard about this kid? And then us going and just spending a Saturday talking to him. Completely changed his life, completely changed our life. We got five kids, changed their lives, and we added a family member for life. So it's a great story.
It is a great story. And with a degree in microbiology, where do you think he'll go?
People, if you know of any jobs in the sciences in microbiology, you could be a part of this great story because he is currently looking for a job as he is graduating from NC State University. So who knows? Maybe you pulling me out of the hallway and us talking about it, somebody may know somebody in the sciences. I know he's done a lot of stuff with 3D printing and those kind of things. I don't know enough about all the sciences in microbiology, but he's got some different aspects he's great at. But if you happen to know anything like that, reach out to David or reach out to me. It's not why we did this interview, but since you brought it out there, I'm swinging the bat. I'm going to throw that out there. And if somebody happens to know of a job or some kind of a lead for a job, we'll take that.
Well, we're in sales and God's in management. We just throw the seeds out there and trust God to germinate them and make them grow. But it's just such a cool story that you and Sandra responded to a prompting to go care for one person, and you took that one person into your home, and literally one life has been dramatically changed. There's no telling where Abdul would be had you not intervened in his life.
No, it really is all that. It's funny, it came down, again, this goes back 10, 11 years, to when the Blind Side movie came out. We were not copycats of that movie or inspired by that movie. We were doing that, and somebody said, have you seen the trailer to this new movie called The Blind Side? If you're familiar with that, it's Michael Orr, who ended up playing with the Panthers after a while, this college football prospect who was homeless, and they bring him into the home and all that. And I said, and we did it without even having a first-round draft pick in our lives. This is just regular student kid here. But it was a very similar storyline, and so I thought it was kind of interesting that that was going on about the same time. That was a very popular movie, obviously, about 10 years ago, and people thought, oh, you must have seen the movie and got inspired. You go, no, it just happened to coincide. And then it was a few months down the road that we even saw the trailer to that movie. We didn't even see that movie for about, we don't go to the theater a lot. We didn't even see it for like a year and a half, 2 years after it came out at home. So it's funny that kind of coincided at that timing of that Blind Side movie. That kind of gives you a little mental picture, a little bit more of what our family situation was like. It was kind of similar to that.
Well, since I know the story some, I have seen and heard from you miracles that happened along the way. Like when he needed money to get into NC State, there was a group of people who came around him and awarded him a financial scholarship that helped keep him move down the road. Talk about some of those miracles.
Oh, Seeds of Hope was a big thing because, you know, that's the biggest thing is his given name is Ernest, and his mother changed all their kids. You know, like 8, 9 kids in the family. Also gave them all Muslim names, and his became Abdul Mateen Abdul Khalik, but his given name is Ernest. It's very difficult when you look at school records, which is part of why he did an extra year of high school, to track him because he had two different social security numbers. I hate to say it, so it was like government inspired, trying to get more funding by some family members there. That was the reason for all of that. So you try to prove records and get kids into college. It was very difficult to get FAFSA and things like that. So Seeds of Hope was a big contributor in terms of getting that scholarship money that he needed there. And individuals that just kind of stepped up, like I said, that helped with, you know, cars and just finances and things like that. He'll have student loans leaving college. That's part of why he needs the job. So the story's not over yet. You know, financially, that's a long way to go. And he, I'll be honest, he's 29 now, but there are a lot of things about him that are still teenage-like and that he didn't have a regular upbringing. So there are things where he's a little bit behind in terms of just knowing how things operate in the real world because he didn't grow up driving a car or living in the typical family situation there. So he's quickly maturing, but there are some things that he's been mentored by adults that have brought him to Christ, for one thing. He's got a Muslim name, but he became a Christian shortly after we got hold of him. Loves the Bible. and knows it inside out. We think he might even have a calling in that, field.
And, yeah,
but God's got his hands and eyes on everybody, but he's got a special place for Abdul because he's really been looking out for him.
So as you look back on this phenomenal story with Abdul, and you're talking now to multiple thousands of people out there in a world that is very divisive, in a world that seems uncaring, angry, negative all the time. Jim, what would you say to people as we look forward to 2020? Coming this Wednesday in a theater near you, 2020 is coming. What would you say to folks as they're listening today about hope and moving forward positively in life?
You know, just keep your mind open. You know, look through a lens and a filter of, you know, not you're looking for somebody to help or whatever, but just keep your eyes and ears open. A lot of times people miss it. You know, it's right there in front of you. If you're not thinking along these lines, you won't know it. We had no plans to go to Wendy's on a Saturday to go meet some Audrey Kell student that we weren't even connected with and our kids didn't even know. So you never know what that connection is. Just have your heart and your mind open to maybe receiving some information and being some help. And your help may be that you're way busy, but you could write a check.
Mm.
Or it may be that you don't have much money, but you've got a lot of time that you could donate and be a big brother, big sister type to somebody. You don't necessarily have to adopt or foster or bring someone near, but be a big brother, be a big sister. You know, volunteer at charity events. And just it's a whole world out there that can use some help. I think every last one of us can use some kind of help, whether that's financial, emotional, whatever the case may be. You know, just be open and willing to being a help and being a contributor to this crazy planet we live on, and not be just a taker all the time, right, and just be self-centered.
One of the things I really believe is that if you're real busy but you have some financial means, when you send your money to a place to help a kid like this or some other person, you're sending yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That is as real as sending yourself, because that's your hard-earned money that you've worked for. It represents you. It represents your hours of work. So you're literally sending yourself. So if you don't have the time, that's a great way to help other people. And we can't minimize the fact that Abdul needed money to go to college. He needs money even now. That is a way to continue to help people by sending your money. But if you do have that time, you know, kids spell love T-I-M-E, one of my Davidisms, if you will. Well, people know that love is spelled T-I-M-E. So if you can give yourself in some way, that helps even more.
And I promise you, when you look back at your life, when you get towards the end, you're going to look back at what contributions did you make along the way? You know, what's your legacy along those ways? And these are things that have a lasting impact for generations. I mean, again, Abdul is just, we're kind of putting a face to one story here. You know, who knows what he'll go on to do in terms of what he'll give back in the future? He's already of that mind of helping others out there in similar situations like him. There's a lot of different situations. There's a lot of, you know, medical situations, mental situations, again, of all ages. It doesn't have to be anything like what we just described here, but find what that thing is that kind of fits you. You know, God gives everyone, you know, unique skills and talents. You know, figure out where your interests lie, and that's where the likely places that you'll be able to contribute.
And keep that spiritual and relational antenna high for someone God may bring in your path that you can help.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what's that old phrase that very few people at the end of their lives say, man, I wish I'd spent more time at the office.
Right.
You know, give yourself to somebody else. And when you do so, your own life is fulfilled like never before.
You're going to have to give it all up at the end anyways, right?
That's
you can't
right.
take it
You
with
will
you.
Not
so why
take
not give it away
you?
As you go?
I promise you that. Jim Zocchi, thanks for being with me.
David, always great. Ed, thank you.
Everyone, Davidisms coming up. What does that mean? We'll explain it when we come back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. If you'd like to hear the podcast, go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can hear the program from its beginning to end. Well, this segment, we want to focus on something interesting in 2020, and that is Davidisms. Now, what in the world are Davidisms? Well, through the years, and I have been here at WBT for 20 years, here in Charlotte, and doing ministry for almost 40 years, people have replied to some of my statements and affectionately nicknamed them Davidisms. I have used them with my kids. I've used them in counseling. I've used them in sermons. I've used them on this show repeatedly. They are simple little one-statement truths that I have accumulated through the years that people have found very, very helpful. Probably the number one is a heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And it's a simple one to help you remind yourselves that really everything in life is centered on the heart. Make sure your heart is right with God and with other people, because the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. There's a proverb in chapter 4 that says the heart is the wellspring of all life. And again, that's what that Davidism is trying to say. The heart of the matter is a matter of the heart. And someone asked me just recently, David, how many Davidisms do you think you have? And I've actually sat down and started writing them out. I have over 200 of them written out, so we're not going to cover all of them today, but maybe the highlights of some of the Davidisms that people especially enjoy. Ed?
You know, David came in this morning, and we were planning the show for Davidisms, and he handed me this, it must be 10 or 12 pages of Davidisms. You ought to put them all in a book.
Well, maybe I will at some point, because, you know, interestingly, William Wilberforce in the 1800s was one of the leading British citizens who stopped the slave trade. It took him his whole life, but he worked in the British Parliament to ultimately pass a law to stop the slave trade. He's most known for that, but probably second and right below that is he wrote a book about manners and ethics and how they had been lost in England during that time period. The book sold millions. It was enormously popular, and it helped remind Britain of some of its past ethics and right behavior. I think these Davidisms do a little bit of that same kind of thing. They are things I learned from my dad, and I'm sure my dad learned it from his dad. It's a cultural truth that should be a part of all of our lives, and we want to share some of them with you today, starting with the heart of the matter is a matter of the heart.
These one-liners, on the surface, okay, makes sense. But when you dig deeper into one of them, it really hits home. I love the, what is ego?
Yeah.
Edging God out.
Yeah, that's one that I learned some years ago from someone who said the best definition of ego they've ever heard is E-G-O, edging God out. Because you really have two perspectives in life. Either you sit on the throne of your heart, or God sits on the throne of your heart. It's either or. If you sit on the throne of your heart, you have a huge ego. You have a lot of pride in your life. But if you let God sit on your heart, you know that everything you have in life comes from God. It's a gift from God. So you can't possibly be egoistic. You are therefore humble, and you fight in every possible way to eliminate pride in your life.
And what you're also doing in your life, David, now at your age and with the new church and all, and a lot of us do a lot of other things, it's never retire, refire.
My dad came up with that one. I don't know if he got it from someone, but he gave it to me. There's just no place in the Bible where you really look at the idea of somebody retiring, other than a Levitical priest in the Old Testament who was told to retire at 50, but that's only because younger guys had to take over. Other than that, you have examples like Joshua was between 68 and 78 when he led the children of Israel into the Promised Land. Caleb, along with Joshua at that time, was 85, and he took the part of the land where the giants were the biggest. You have all kinds of examples, like Paul in his 60s, 70s, Peter in his 60s and 70s, still ministering. There's just no biblical evidence of retiring. There is great biblical evidence of refiring. And that means for all the people out there who are nearing the age of retirement, find something else. Find a ministry. Find some place where you can give your life away to other people, like you heard Jim and Sandra Zoki do with Abdul in the last segment. When you do so, you're still useful and positive in the sight of God.
It's another one here that I always like, because we go through a lot of rejections in life, a lot of things we don't understand why it didn't work out for us. Your Davidism, rejection is God's protection?
Yeah, I think that's one I came up with. I don't know why or where, but it was during a time of life when I was feeling rejected by someone who was very important to me as a friend, and I just prayed, and it seemed like it came to me one day, rejection is God's protection. What that means is that God is sovereign over everything, and if there's a rejection that happens in your life, God's probably protecting you from something else happening in your life. The essence of faith is trusting God when you can't see what's happening, and if you believe that rejection's overseen by God and could be, well, His protection from something worse, then you can accept the rejection. One obvious example would be when you go through somebody who you think you may want to marry, and that person rejects you, you then trust that God's got a plan, and that person who rejects you, it could have ended up into something much worse in the marriage relationship. And Ed, one other that's interesting here that's very much a part of it, I've included within it in the years as I've moved forward in ministry, is rejection is not only God's protection, rejection is God's redirection. That when you experience a rejection, if you trust God, He's redirecting your life to another place. And when you trust Him that way, you have peace in your heart.
Okay. Gosh, we could keep going on and on here, because here's another one I loved. But before we do that one, let's talk the presence one, because we're coming right off of the Christmas season, and I just love it. Use it during Father's Day. Use it throughout the year.
Well, it's one that Bo Thompson has always remembered that I used with him 20 years ago when I was beginning my work here at WBT. It's basically this. Christmas is much more about God's presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, than getting presents, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. But it's also a parenting principle as well. Your kids don't want stuff from you. They want to be with you. And the more time you spend with them, the better parent you are. Then you can direct their lives much better because you have that relationship of trust.
And then it feeds right into rules and regulations.
Yeah, R plus R minus R equals R.
Come on, now what is that?
That's a formula for parenting that says rules and regulations minus a relationship equals rebellion. If you as a parent just give your kids rules and regulations, but you don't have a relationship with them, you don't spend time with them, you don't give them your presence, you're inviting rebellion. Again, kids don't want stuff from you. They want to be with you. And when you spend that time with them, then you have the privilege of giving them boundaries, rules and regulations that you think they need to follow, and they'll respect you enough because of the relationship to want to do what you've ask them to do.
And just go back in your childhood memory and you think about, okay, the Christmases have passed or the New Year's have passed. You remember those moments with the family. What was your best Christmas gift ever? You go, maybe okay with this or that, but do you remember the times, the dinners, the moments with your family?
Those are the memories that stick forever. So parents, make sure that you have in your calendar marked out time for your kids, because here's another Davidism. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. They do. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. They want time with you, parents. That's your most important gift that you can give them. And when you do, they'll listen more aptly to what you say and how you counsel them.
You know, friends are like elevators. They can take you up or bring you down.
That's one of my dad's favorite statements. He told me that as a teen repeatedly. Friends are like elevators. They'll either take you up or they'll take you down. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that said, bad company corrupts morals. And it's so true. You will become like the people you hang around with. And Dad would always say, be careful with those peers. They're shaping your life more than you realize. They are like elevators. They're either taking you up to a high place, making you better, or they're bringing you down to a low place and making you worse.
For you automotive fans, you kind of guys and ladies that love cars, you got two car ones here. God can't steer a parked car?
Yeah, that's famous out there. I don't think that one came from me nor my family. It's pretty much been a statement of faith for some time now. God can't steer a parked car. That if you're staying in a parked mode, God can't help you. You need to take that first step. The Israelites didn't see the Red Sea part until they put their foot in the water. The Jordan River didn't dry up until that first toe went in the water. Peter didn't experience the miraculous power of Jesus until he got out of the boat. You've got to take that first step. Then when you do so, God can then guide you to the next step, then the next step. God can't steer a parked car.
Dogs only bark at moving cars. Help me with that.
That's a great one. Well, that's the whole idea of there are so many critics in life. And if you want to base your life responding to critics, you're going to be forever frustrated. So if you move forward in life, if you're like a moving car, you'll have a dog bark at you. They will snipe at you. Critics will come after you. But critics only bark at moving cars. And we need to realize that. Keep moving forward, folks, and don't listen to the barking dog who's yapping at you because you're trying to make something out of your life. Hey, we need to stop, Ed. The Davidisms are going to come up on the other side of the break.
It's commercial time.
We have a few more. Please return. Davidism, something I've learned through the years, things that we can learn as we approach 2020 together. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Hey, be positive. 2020 is going to be a great year. Let's believe that together as we move into the new year this Wednesday. I am doing some Davidisms, as they are affectionately called, as we look forward to 2020. They are different phrases that I have learned, come up with through the years. I have over 200 of them. I've written them down, and so many people have found them helpful. Little snippets about how to live life well, and Ed Billick has his microphone open with me, the producer. And Ed, before we get into more Davidisms, let me remind our listeners that Bo Thompson, the overseer of Charlotte's Morning News, will come in and be with me during the show next week. We'll look back at 2019, the major events of the year. The first show of 2020 will also look forward, and Bo's going to put on his Swami hat and make some predictions about what we can expect in 2020.
Yeah, the 2020 year is going to be quite exciting with a lot of things happening. But David, back to you, and we'll look forward to having Bo in here for sure. Davidisms, what are some of your favorites?
Okay, well, let me give you one right here. Who has ever built a statue to a critic? I love that. Who has ever built a statue to a critic? The people who have statues built on them, people who have their faces etched in Mount Rushmore, they were positive people. They were people who looked forward to the future, who gave a vision, encouraged people. Well, folks who are critics ultimately have people move away from them. They don't want to be around them. So who's ever built a statue to a critic? Make sure you live your life positively, speak positive words, and don't be a critical person.
Let's keep rolling.
You were made for more. You were made for more than more. That's what that is. You were made for more than more. Now, what does that mean? It means God created you to have more than life, than just stuff, than just possessions. You were made for more than more. If you live your life simply accumulating lots of money, lots of possessions, lots of stuff, lots of things, you're missing out on life. God created you to give your life away, to care for people. You were made for more than more. So many people think meaningfulness in life is just having more and more possessions. Nothing could be farther from the truth.
My uncle and my brother, both in mortuary sciences, are funeral directors. Yep, we've never seen a U-Haul on the back of a hearse. Right? You can't take it with you, right?
That's a new Davidism right there, Ed.
No U-Hauls on the back of the hearse.
That is great. There is no U-Haul attached to a hearse.
You're more than more. Huh?
You can't take it with you. You were created for more than more. And there's so many others, Ed, that come to my mind that I really, really love. With every privilege, there's a responsibility. With every privilege, there's a responsibility. That's something my dad did teach me. When I was in high school, I ran for the senior class presidency of my high school. And Dad helped me write the speech. And that was the last line. With every privilege, there's a responsibility. And I challenge people to use their privileges to be responsible to help other people. If we would just do that one, that would help change our world forever.
You keep rolling, David. I see you got a whole page full and then a couple more pages there.
Shoot for the stars. But if you only get to the moon, you've never been to the moon before. It's a visionary leadership statement. Shoot for the stars. If you only land on the moon, you've never been to the moon before. So even if you don't reach your ultimate goal, if you just move toward it, you're going to be at a place you've never been before, and that is good.
And that one ties into do your best.
And give God the rest.
And give God the rest.
Well, that's a statement that somehow came to me during a difficult time some years ago when you're stuck and you don't know what to do. You're wondering if you're doing enough, if it's good enough. And finally, it just came to me, all we can do is do our best and then give God the rest. We can try our best, but then trust God with the rest. And it fits into another Davidism that we pray like it all depends on us, but we work like it all depends on us, but we pray like it all depends on God.
What's that, the occupation and vocation?
Absolutely.
What's that one?
An occupation is what we do to occupy our time. A vocation is something that God has called us to do. Make sure your work is a vocation, not an occupation, just something occupying your time. Then work has true meaning.
Okay, vocation then. Being a married person is a vocation, right? So it's just not getting into ministry, correct? Just to describe that.
Yeah, vocation comes from the Latin word for voice. So it's a calling from God. It really is wherever you are, be God's person to care for people around you. And you can be working as a janitor, but you're God's person in that position. You can be working on Wall Street, but you're God's person in that position. That's a vocation, a calling from God to be God's person wherever you are for His glory.
How about another favorite?
Well, I think here's one that I really, really do like. The only people who like change are babies with wet diapers.
We know that as newly grandparents, right?
Yeah.
A bunch of grandkids.
We know babies don't like wet diapers. So when we have change in our lives, you know, change just happens, Ed. It's part of growth. It's part of moving forward. The only people who really like change are babies with wet diapers. But the truth is, change happens in our lives, and we've got to be ready to embrace change and continue to move forward with God's call upon our lives.
Perfect, perfect.
Here's another one. What people aren't up on, they're down on. Now, that's a leadership principle. What people aren't up on, they're down on. Basically, that's saying you can't communicate too much. Communicate over and over and over and over again. As a parent to your children, as a leader in your workplace, as a coach to your athletes, what people aren't up on, they're down on. Make sure you communicate to them over and over again about what you're trying to say to them.
You know, there's one that, and I don't know if this is a Davidism, you are what you think, but isn't it you are what you do versus what you say?
And well,
there's one tied in like that.
And I believe with all of my heart that Americans are mostly led by their feelings. And feelings, though, are really stimulated by what you think. So I really believe if you want to control your feelings, you've got to control your thought life. So before you try to control your feelings, make sure you do a thought inventory. Look at what you're allowing into your brain. From what you watch, what you read, you are what you think. You are not what you eat. You are what you think. And if you want to change your feelings, change how you think, that will change your feelings, then that ultimately changes behavior.
Perfect, perfect. Another one in there?
Well, I have all kinds of ones that I have written here that I think are really, really good.
In the next minute or so, let's do rapid fire maybe, huh?
Okay.
I'll make you rattle off.
Abhor, endure, embrace. That's the cycle of sin that my dad taught me, that a nation goes through those cycles. First, it abhors sin, then endures sin, then embraces sin. We used to be a nation that hated sin. Then we started to put up with sin. Now we're embracing sin. And that's the ultimate cycle of degradation. I hope we'll be a nation that once again hates what is evil, that God doesn't like himself.
Continue on.
Well, I'm trying to get one more in here before we break today. No person suddenly becomes base. No person suddenly becomes base. What that means is we don't suddenly become evil. We don't suddenly rebel against God. It's usually a step by step by step by step process. So make sure you control that first step, and then you can make sure you never become base again.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
And let me give the last Davidism that I give every week in this show. And that is, hey, everybody, you want to find your purpose in life? You want to know how you should live, especially as we move into 2020? Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and might, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll just do those two simple commandments, you have a lifetime's worth of work to do, and 2020 will be meaningful like never before.
Happy New Year, David.
Happy New Year to you, Ed Billick, and to all of you. I'm David Chadwick. Talk with you all next week.